So the room is full today. Thank you all for coming. So we are going to start. So I'd like to welcome one of my colleagues, Max from Berlin, who is going to talk about web transport.
Thank you very much. Thanks for so many people showing up here. This seems to be a very popular topic. Appreciate all your attention. It's wonderful. OK, I want to give an introduction to web transport. And I want to post this as a question, whether it's going to be the next WebSockets in the web. I'm Max. I'm a software developer at Mozilla. I'm working on Firefox's networking stack. And within the Firefox networking stack, I mostly focus on HTTP3 and QUIC. And we'll have plenty of talking points here about HTTP3 and QUIC. I lured you all in with a phrase of web transport, but really what I'm going to talk about here is QUIC and HTTP3 and all the properties that we can then pass up to the higher levels. I'm very much a low-level transport person, so bear with me a little bit here. If you want to learn more about me, this is my homepage. Obviously, reach out to me. I'm going to be here. I don't think I'm going to take the whole time, so I'm going to be here for questions in the room. I'm also going to do questions afterwards outside, so feel free to find me there or send me an email or anything you like. Okay, before we can talk about the next WebSocket, let's first talk about WebSockets itself. And a quick show of hands, who here has used WebSockets? All right, that's an easy one. Who has programmed against WebSockets, as in operating some kind of WebSocket-like service? Okay, wonderful. Okay. Who here has heard about web transport? Who's using web transport? Wow. Brave soul. All right. So what is back to WebSockets. What is WebSockets? It's a very established web API today that, as a web application, gives you a single reliable bidirectional ordered byte stream from the client to the server. As in, from the web context in the browser, you can then communicate to the server. And basically can do with that whatever you want. It started off on HTTP 1 in December 2011. That was standardized as, was it here, RFC 6455, so quite early. And what it gives you on HTTP 1 is built on top of TCP. We'll go a little bit into that. It gives you a single session, so it upgrades the whole TCP connection to a WebSocket stream. Okay. Later on, we got HTTP 2. Great, wonderful. HTTP 2 has streaming in there, right? You can have multiple streams. And so then also came WebSockets on top of HTTP 2. That was in 2018, and it gives you the ability to run many WebSocket connections over one HTTP2 connection, or many WebSocket, let's call them sessions. Later on, we got extra lucky and got HTTP3, and that's the thing I'm very excited about. And folks also standardized WebSockets on top of HTTP3. Now, great, we get multiple streams, we get various mechanisms against head-of-line blocking, wonderful. Turns out no one really implements it. I'm not aware of any major deployment out there, nor am I aware of any browser engine implementing it. If you have plans around that, please reach out to me. I'm interested to chat about it. So yeah, we have two ways to run WebSockets on HTTP1, HTTP2, HTTP3, not really. Where are we in the internet stack when we're talking about WebSockets? All of you are probably familiar with IPv4, IPv6. Then we have the two pillars on the left, both running on top of TCP. We have some kind of security layer, so TLS 1.3 preferably. And then we have HTTP1 and HTTP2 running on top of that. That gives us HTTP semantics, so get, post, put, and so on. And then with those HTTP semantics, we can then do the upgrade of going from a standard HTTP connection to a WebSocket stream. Right? We can do that on HTTP 1, HTTP 2. As I said, there's the standard for HTTP 3, but I'm not aware of any deployments out there. So not really usable there. So we are very much constrained to whatever TCP gives us. Right? On a higher level, we cannot get anything more than what our lower levels make available to us. And this is very much where a lot of downsides come from for WebSockets. And I want to walk through the various downsides here. You already have one on the screen. And then later on, well, we are, of course, going to compare that to web transport. So first thing, not very WebSocket specific, the WebSocket upgrade. You see this pattern a lot when you look at various web protocol implementations. Usually you have a one round trip upgrade mechanism. So on the very left here, you see the HTTP upgrade to WebSocket. The client is requesting it. The server says one-on-one switching protocol, all good, let's go. And then you have a bidirectional stream, right? But this, unfortunately, costs you a whole round trip, right? As in, let's say you have a 30 millisecond round trip time, then you're already paying for a round trip on TCP, you're already paying for a round trip on TLS 1.3, and now you're paying for another round trip just to get your WebSocket session going. There is the trick of doing this a little bit more optimistically. Support differs across platforms. So what we could do is send the upgrade token, already optimistically send data on the WebSocket session, saying, like, I'm sure the server will accept this. And then the server says one-on-one switching protocol is great, and then it's also sending responses to whatever you sent earlier. So this saves you on a round trip, but you're having this optimistic pattern in there. If the server says, nope, not talking WebSocket to you, then in the HTTP2 case, the whole thing fails. You send data that was never useful. And in the HTTP1 case, that is actually a potential security attack, where if you don't control what, if you have an untrusted client that can put anything into the optimistic data, the server, after rejecting your initial upgrade request, will then interpret the optimistic data potentially as an HTTP request. So your attacker could put anything in there and then take control in some way of the connection. So in the default case, as I said earlier, one RTT mostly, there is the optimization around doing this optimistically, but it's not implemented everywhere. From here, the major thing of WebSockets, and that's very much WebSockets suffering from what it is running on top of, is head-of-line blocking. For those not familiar with this, I will go a little bit into this. So imagine you have a bidirectional communication substrate, whatever it is. It might be a TCP connection, WebSockets, anything out there. And so it's a single larger stream where you put multiple streams inside. So you have one packet for stream one, stream two, stream one, and then later on stream two. So stream two is behind all of this. And you're sending this over the wire, and it makes it to the receiver, but unfortunately the first one doesn't. Right? So now stream two is independent of stream one, as in the receiver could already consume stream two, like the data in it. But given that TCP is always ordered, you cannot consume whatever is in stream two. It's not available to you. So you will have a retransmit of this one packet on stream one, and only then the receiver can then read all of the frames for stream one, and then later on stream two. So this is not ideal. In general, the idea of head-of-line blocking, you see this everywhere in the web, is the idea that independent data is blocked because something at the head of the queue is not yet ready to be read. And we have this problem both on the session level in WebSockets and on the TCP stream level. As in, like, if you have different kinds of things that you send over a single WebSocket connection, the receiver can only read that in order. If you have independent things that you send on one TCP connection, the receiver can only read that in order. If the head is delayed, everything behind that is delayed. That's very much problematic. Next, given that we're running on TCP, as I said, WebSockets is using HTTP1, HTTP2, both running on top of TCP, there's no such thing as unreliable delivery. TCP will always give you reliable delivery. Now, don't get me wrong, that's a good idea. Like, don't implement your own transport protocol just to get this. But it is a problem in some cases where you want unreliable delivery. Say, for example, you have a live stream. Let's say a packet is lost. Given that it's a live stream, you probably don't care whether that packet is retransmitted, right? Because the live stream is moving on. If that one packet is gone, you don't really care. You don't want that retransmit because that retransmit would take up bandwidth. You would throw it away anyways at the receiver side, right? And it is competing with the other traffic that might be more important on that connection. So WebSockets, unfortunately, no unreliable delivery. Next one, connection migration. Here you see my big emoji game. Let's imagine you're in the house and you see the bus, right? You're on your phone. You are, let's again say, live streaming something over your Wi-Fi, right? And now you run to the bus and you exit the house. Thus, you exit the reach of your Wi-Fi and you're switching to your cellular, or your phone does that automatically, right? So you're switching networks. Now, what's going to happen? Well, your source IP address is going to change. Your source IP address is going to change from your home source IP to your cellular source IP. You don't have your own, that is NATed, but overall, you can think that way. So what's the problem here for TCP? TCP always operates on a four tuple, so on source IP, source port, source destination IP, destination port. If the source IP changes, your TCP connection breaks. Now, there are tricks, various tricks, but those are not very very widely deployed. So very much, your TCP connection breaks. And that also means everything that you run on top of it also breaks. So for example, if you have a live stream running while you run to your bus, then that live stream is also going to break. Not great. So on WebSockets, given that it's only running on TCP, we don't have connection migration. And then lastly, this is more informational here, browser support, as I mentioned, HTTP1, HTTP2. There are a lot of benefits of HTTP3 beyond what I just listed, and that's a bummer. WebSockets right now not supported beyond that. That's enough about WebSockets. Now let's talk a little bit about web transport, as in the successor to WebSocket. Web transport is very much a new API on the web. It's an ongoing effort both at the IETF and the W3C being standardized there. I will have a slide to go more a little bit into detail on the standards bodies. The focus is very much on HTTP3, and you can see later that all the properties that I listed are mostly solved actually at the lower level HTTP3, not so much by redesigning WebSockets to web transport. So the focus is on HTTP3, but HTTP3 is not possible everywhere in the web, nor is it deployed everywhere in the web, so there's also being developed a fallback to HTTP2 in case HTTP3 is not available. In the major big step of web transport is very fine-grained flow control per session and per stream, which, for example, gives us independent, reliable streams, so reliable delivery similar to TCP streams, but also unreliable delivery similar to UDP datagrams. And with these various mechanisms, we can entirely work around the problem of head-of-line blocking, the thing that I showed earlier with stream 1 and stream 2, where stream 2 waits on anything in stream 1. So this is basically one of the big goals of web transport. Cool. Let's walk into some use cases first and then into the lower levels. I'm just listing a couple of things here. Those are not mine. For example, let's say you want to implement a cloud game and you want the sending of the user input to be very reliable, as in like every click you do. While at the same time, you want to push video frames back from the server, and there you don't really care about whether individual frames are lost, right? It's live after all, so if they're lost, you definitely don't want them to be retransmitted. You want this to happen in an unreliable fashion. Other ideas, like live streaming, very similar to that. Imagine collaborative editing. You definitely don't want a change to be lost, right? As in, you want that to be retransmitted. But a cursor update of your colleague, if it gets lost, you don't really need it retransmitted. The next cursor update will just update your UI. You have ideas of Internet of Things, where you have many streams of events that you want to consume. Or you can imagine a financial ticker where always the latest packet, the latest update on the, I guess, price matters. But if one later on gets dropped, you just wait for the next one. Okay. So a lot of use cases, which are right now not perfect for WebSocket and where WebTransport very much targets to be the protocol in need. Where do we place WebTransport? This is exactly the same graphic as before, just the upper layer changed. We have IP at the bottom, then TCP, of course, and UDP. We have the three pillars, HTTP/1, HTTP/2, and HTTP/3. And here on the top right, you see web transport, very much targeting HTTP/3. So that's the main playground we're trying to be in. Then we have a fallback on web transport over HTTP/2. And there are efforts to design web transport over HTTP/1, even though that is very difficult. So I'm not sure how successful that's going to be. Okay. As I said, this is actually not a web transport talk, but actually I just want to talk a lot about my most favorite protocol, Qwik, and HTTP/3. Now we're getting to that part. Check the time real quick. I want to focus now on the third pillar, so HTTP/3 and Qwik, because a lot of those properties then bubble up into web transport and make web transport so cool. So what is Qwik and HTTP/3? The most notable thing is, instead of HTTP/1 and HTTP/2 being based on TCP, we're now basing everything on top of UDP. Right? So we don't have the reliability guarantees and the various congestion controllers available that we would have on TCP. But hey, we can roll our own, and that is basically the whole idea. So Qwik is very much a general-purpose transport protocol. You can think of it as TCP/2 with TLS tightly integrated. It is on top of UDP. It encrypts a lot of its metadata. So obviously, we want to encrypt the actual user data, right? That we have been doing for a very long time. But now we also want to move that encryption down to the lower protocol layers to, for example, encrypt more of the handshake of Qwik. We'll go, I think, a little bit into connection establishment, will we? Qwik connections can be established in one RTT. I mentioned earlier TCP costs an RTT, then TLS also costs an RTT, so you always have two on HTTP/1 and HTTP/2. On the other hand, HTTP/3 merges the transport handshake and the security handshake, and thus you get that in one RTT. That is huge for the web, right? As in, like, let's say you have 30 milliseconds round trip time. Imagine you can optimize your page load by 30 milliseconds. That's very big. On consecutive connections, Qwik goes even farther because it integrates the transport handshake and the cryptographic handshake together. It can do various tricks where on consecutive connections, we can reuse some of the cryptographic material from the previous connection and actually do the whole connection establishment in zero RTT. As in, we can send our GET requests right away with zero latency for the setup. Given that we're on top of UDP, we can play around with reliability guarantees. As I said, TCP only gives us reliable delivery. UDP gives us unreliable delivery. Qwik is our reliability layer if we want it. If we don't want it, we can actually send things unreliably. And with those new mechanisms, streams being independent, and we have unreliable delivery, we can then work around the various problems around head-of-line blocking, both within, for example, web transport session, but also lower layer on the transport layer. I mentioned earlier connection migration. We'll go a little bit into that. And then all of this is a new shiny protocol that is very much built to last, well-designed. And given that most of it is encrypted, boxes in the middle of the internet cannot mess as much with the Qwik protocol. Just an anecdote, after the Qwik handshake, all Qwik packets actually have only two bits that are encrypted. Everything else is encrypted in that in those packets. So any middle box would actually need the TLS key to mess with any of it, and thus, hopefully, middle box will not OSIFY the internet as much as today. As currently, like, you can't roll out TCP2 because simply the middle boxes don't know what it is, and thus they're going to break. Okay, so I mentioned this earlier, the connection establishment. It's huge on HTTP/3. Here you basically see that HTTP/3 is twice as fast as HTTP/2 in terms of setup time. Note, these are observational data, as in maybe the whole internet, all the fast servers just use HTTP/3 and all the slow servers just use HTTP/2, maybe. Unlikely. I would bet that this has to do due to the fact that we have one RTT connection establishment and sometimes zero RTT connection establishment. In terms of adoption, and this is very much relevant for web transport, right? As I said, web transport focuses on HTTP3, so if HTTP3 is not available everywhere, that's a difficult story for web transport. HTTP3 adoption, we currently see around 20 to 30% of Firefox traffic using HTTP3. That is great. Other players in the internet see way more, as in it is possible to run HTTP3 across the web. Some other players see up to 95%. We have various tricks. Maybe some of you heard of Happy Eyeball V3, which we will soon be landing in Firefox to actually increase that HTTP3 share. Okay, with that, we have the lower level. We know what QUIC and HTTP3 is. What does that mean for web transport? Well, first off, the web transport upgrade. It can be done in zero RTT, as in we can do that optimistic dance that we also had earlier with HTTP2 and WebSockets. As in, I sent both the upgrade request and already sent data. But instead of single reliable byte stream, I can actually start multiple streams already. And I can, for example, send a datagram already. And then when the server responds with the 200, they can already react to all of the stuff I already sent. In terms of head-of-line blocking, given that we're running on top of UDP instead of TCP, we don't have one single reliable byte stream, as in like things in the back get delayed by the things in the front. Instead, the stack can read UDP datagrams one after the next and then propagate them up. So for example, in the stream 1, stream 2 use case, if stream 1 gets delayed, that doesn't matter for stream 2. Stream 2 data can already be bubbled up. As in your web transport session, if your web stream 1 has a packet loss, your stream 2 doesn't need to be delayed due to this. So we get the head of line blocking. We get unreliable delivery. Previously, we were running on TCP. There is no unreliability on TCP. Now we're running on QUIC, which has UDP and thus unreliable datagrams actually as a feature built into QUIC. And we can leverage that on the higher level in web transport where we can say, hey, this piece of data, I'll send it to the server. If it doesn't make it there, please don't retransmit it. I just need it in time. If it doesn't make it, retransmission is useless. We have things like connection migration. Here, me running to the bus. QUIC will notice that the connection is migrating from one path over to another, and thus has a path challenge to validate that the new path is valid, and will then switch over. It is not dependent on the source IP staying static. And lastly, browser support. As I said, it's very much the focus on HTTP3, and there is upcoming HTTP support as well. Support across browsers. You probably see similar slides a lot today in this room. We do have web transport support on Chrome, Edge, Firefox, and Opera. Safari, you still see here in red. They, I believe, have like a developer flag where which you can enable and then use web transport in Safari as well. And I heard it is shipping soon as in basic web transport support in Safari, which is very exciting because then we have it in all of these. Status at the standard bodies, at the W3C. It is going to wider review for candidate recommendation soon. So that's a very good step. So more and more of the APIs are being standardized. And then at the ITF, we're currently on HTTP3, two separate drafts actually for the two versions, on draft number 14 and the other one draft number 13. I'm not so much involved with the W3C. I am involved in the ITF, and there I don't see major changes, but you never know before the RFC is published. In terms of users, adoption is low. That's the big problem. I'm not aware of any major deployments today using web transport, though there is a larger working group at the ITF trying to pull more and more of media streaming and the like over to web transport. So in case you're interested in that, definitely follow the media over QUIC working group. You can try it out. There are various test websites. I uploaded these slides, so you can just click the link there. One test website I linked here. If you want to play around with this yourself, I really like the Web Transport Go implementation. That is very helpful. And then on the browser side, is it as easy as opening a web transport connection, waiting for it to be ready, and then, hey, you can send unreliable datagrams in the browser. Isn't that always what you wanted? Note the API changed slightly on the draft side. This is still what all major browsers implement. So if you want to get going, that's the one. If you want to follow the latest spec, which we will update in the browser soon, then this changed slightly, but not too much. That's it for my end. If you have questions, I think we have a couple more minutes.
We have
one question. I will be outside after this talk, so if you want to talk to me, just find me there. Help us build all of this, right? It's not us alone in building a healthy internet, it's all of us. And if you want to reach out to me, this is my email address, and I do have stickers of my most favorite protocol called Qwik. If you want some of those, find me somewhere. Cool, thank you.